Ringers.
I'm Paul Lewis. Welcome to Moneybox Live. Coming up later, I'll be looking at all the party's financial plans in their manifestos and sobbing quietly in the corner. Our first caller this week is Joyce. Now, Joyce, you're worried about your long-term source of income.
Yes, very worried, Paul. You see, I'm recently retired.
Can I ask what it was you did?
I was a Wonga puppet. Now they say they've lost so much money they'll have to stop using us.
Oh, dear. And does this just affect you?
No. Betty's taken it very badly. She's on antidepressants and drinking heavily.
And Earl?
Oh, Earl's always been bad with his money. He got caught up in all the showbiz razzmatazz of being on the telly. He dated the mother of the doll Mio puppets for a while and fell into the crowd. He got hooked on wood polish and was so out of it one night he did something stupid.
What?
He took out a Wonga loan. Borrowed 20 quid 2 days ago to get a cab home and now he owes them 350 grand. What can we do? There's no work for puppets anymore. Even the Thunderbirds are CGI. At the wit's end.
Well, my advice to you, Joyce, would be two-pronged. One, talk to a citizens' advice debt charity. And two, shack up with Alexander Meerkat. He's loaded. Simples.
Coming to a cinema near you. In a world where smaller parties hold the power in a coalition government.
The enemy has become hostile, and now we've no choice but to respond in kind.
You don't mean...
Get me to the office of Prime Minister Sturgeon. Permission to fire the nuclear weapons, Prime Minister.
Well, here's the thing. Remember the whole Trident thing we scrapped?
Are you saying we have no nuclear devices?
I am, yes.
Right. And Deputy Prime Minister Salmon agreed to this.
Well, to be honest, I've not had much of a say since they kept me in a box during the election, but with the money we've saved, we built 30 new schools and 20 new hospitals. Sure, they're about to be destroyed, but...
So that's it, then. We're totally defenceless.
Not quite. Let me call the Defence Secretary. Natalie!
Jeez, don't shout. You know it makes me jump.
The enemy strike is imminent, Secretary.
Well, now, remember, there's no such thing as an enemy. Just friends with nuclear weapons we haven't met.
Do we not have any alternative defence strategy?
Well, I hoped it would never come to this. General, fire the long pointy sticks.
As you wish, Secretary. The long pointy stick is airborne. Oh, no, wait, it's snapped. Now what?
Plan B.
Which is?
Breathing exercises.
And how is that meant to threaten the enemy?
It won't, but this has just been a very stressful day.
Hello, and welcome to the exclusive leaders' interviews here on the BBC. I know Paxman's already interviewed the leaders on primetime TV, but I like to do everything Jeremy Paxman does, only 2 months later. I'm joined by Ed Miliband. Hello.
Thanks, Evan. That's a great question.
Footage was released this week of your campaign bus being caught in the middle of a rowdy hen party in Cheshire. After meeting you, the bride-to-be vowed to vote Labour. Surely this is just a shame-faced, orchestrated PR stunt to help you target the female vote?
Well Evan, what I want to say to the people at home is that, look, I'm not chasing the female vote. I'm chasing the hen night vote. And that's why I've announced our fully costed triple lock campaign for all hen party attendees to vote Labour.
But how on earth can you appeal to such a specific demographic?
Well, it's simple. No tax on penis-shaped straws. A total price freeze on butlers in the buff. Protecting your right to shout, oi, oi, Savaloy, from the sunroof of a pink limousine.
Oh, come on, Ed. This all feels incredibly condescending. I mean, what with this, the pink bus, and the manifesto for women, are the Labour Party not just patronising female voters?
Look, Evan, no one understands women more than me. I don't know if you read in the Daily Mail, but I've had upwards of 3 girlfriends in my life. And I'm only 45. Pretty nifty, huh? Hell yeah.
So, what's next for the Labour Party?
Well, Evan, now we're going to target the stag do vote. I assume so, anyway. Why else would the party want to gag me and fly me off to Latvia?
This is BBC Radio 1 Newsbeat.
This is Newsbeat. Coming up on the show, food bank users reach 1 million and Rita Ora put sunglasses on a schnauzer. First up, Manchester City women's footballer Jill Scott has been handed a 3-match ban after headbutting an opponent. We spoke to England manager Roy Hodgson.
Well, I think it's great to see women's football catching up with the men's game. But let's not get carried away. Yeah, catching someone square in the nut is progress, but I still don't think women will ever be as good at headbutting as the men. Newsbeat.
You're watching Newsnight. Pub close early, did it? Accusations that the Conservative chairman, Grant Shapps, has edited his own Wikipedia page like a sneaky little git. I'm joined by David Cameron's ventriloquist dummy, William Hague.
We are the Conservative Party. Strongly deny any accusations that Grant Shapps is a sneaky little git. Anyone could have edited those pages. Even me, if I knew what a Wikipedia was.
An extract here from the Conservative Party page describing it as a centre-right political party in the United Kingdom led by Prime Minister David Cameron and his chairman, the brilliant, charismatic Grant Shapps.
Certainly I harbour no issue with that description.
I hadn't finished. Shapps is a tender lover. He's well hard and can have anyone in a fight. He's got a lovely big todger. His dad's bigger than your dad. He once caught a fish this big and he's a more popular choice for the next Bond than Idris Elba.
Who are the edits attributed to on the website?
One Mr. Engelbert Poopenheimer. It certainly sounds like a fictional name.
Why would Grant Shapps go around making up fake names? You clearly don't know him at all. No, no, no. He's a great man, and I will back him to the end.
Well, Mr. Hague, we've also got an extract from your Wikipedia page describing you as a bald, fat, short, crap version of Grant Shapps.
Get me that bastard Engelbert Poopenheimer.
Hello, I'm Dara O'Brien and I'm paid to sound drunk.
And I'm Ed Byrne, the most agreeable sounding guy ever.
And welcome to our new travelogue. Ed and Dara travel around for no reason at all. Yes, join us as we make a pilgrimage, as we follow in the footsteps of a legend, a man I've always considered a hero.
Oh, that's right. Rory McGrath.
Our journey will take us on the same historic route of Rory McGrath's legendary 2010 series, Rory McGrath Travels Around, because that's what comedians do before they retire completely.
You know, to think it was almost 5 years ago that Rory himself stood here and done a Rory piece to camera.
That's right. But what prompted McGrath to make this journey? Well, he was following in the footsteps of the great Carolyn Quentin and her legendary 2009 series, Carolyn Quentin Pays Off Her Tax Bill. She, of course, was following in the footsteps of Griff Rhys Jones' series, Griff Goes in Search of the Cash for a Third House in Devon. And he was following in the footsteps of Paul Merton's series, Merton May As Well Go Somewhere Because Have I Got News For You Isn't Back On Until September. So we're off to experience one of Rory's main activities on his journey.
Yes, we are. Today, we're trying our hand at the traditional televisual craft of scraping a barrel.
And here's local barrel scraper Hilda Wedge to show us how it's done. Hello there.
How do?
Now, do you remember Rory coming here?
Aye, it wasn't very long ago.
And Rory scraped this very barrel.
Aye.
Wow. Well, let's have a go in Rory's honour, shall we, right? Oh, right, I'm in. But there's literally nothing left to scrape out of this barrel. Now, it was about this time in Rory's journey that he decided to go to the pub. So we'll do the same. See you next week when we visit the chapel of St. Michael Palin, the patron saint of old rope.
Ordinary people of Britain, I've taken time out of my busy schedule of talking to the electorate as if they're an 8-year-old who won't put on their pyjamas to make this emergency broadcast about a clear and present threat to the security of the United Kingdom. Families all over Britain are being preyed upon and radicalised by a group of foreign extremists calling themselves the Scottish National Party. These evil predators have managed to infiltrate our country by being part of it in the first place and are using underhanded grooming techniques such as electoral campaigning and performing well at debates that I didn't go to because it clashed with my tennis club disco. There's a young, impressionable chap I know. Let's call him Ed. Ed is a marginalised and vulnerable numpty. And he may be at risk of radicalisation or even forming a government. Make no mistake. These people intend to form what they call a Scottish state, to be ruled by ancient Celtic law based on outmoded customs, such as free university education. And they are led by a dangerously charismatic figure known as Nicola Bin Sturgeon, or the Scottish Widow. Aided and abetted by the notorious henchman Ayatollah Salmond. So make sure you stay safe, report anything suspicious, and vote for us. Or come May the 8th, there'll be total chaos, and I'll have to find something else to do with my afternoons.
From the makers of Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares and The Hotel Inspector comes yet another brutal reality show. Scruffy flower beds, wonky patios and crap arboretums. They all come under the withering gaze of Alan Titchmarsh, garden bastard.
Marjorie, I'm not going to mince me words here. Your lawn is quite nice, but it could be nicer in certain respects.
As he visits some of Britain's most poorly kept gardens, Titchmarsh unleashes a series of vicious verbal assaults.
I've got mixed feelings about your jardinieres.
In his new TV series, Alan Titchmarsh calls a spade, literally. There's an entire episode about spades. And he peppers his comments with a string of F-words.
Freesias, foxgloves, forsythia. Ficus me, what a lot of flowers.
Britain's greatest gardener demands the very highest of standards.
Call that a herbaceous border. It's more like a leafy margin. Sorry, I've gone too far.
And when people fall short, there's only one possible outcome.
This hanging basket simply won't do. So pass me the gloves, put your feet up, and I'll give it the once-over.
Who will be next to feel Alan Titchmarsh's wrath on Alan Titchmarsh, Garden Bastard? Thursdays on Really, straight after Kirsty Allsop's bathroom difficulties.
BBC Radio 4. And now, Book of the Week, and Prince Charles reads from his collection of black spider letters. This week, hospitals.
Dear Minister for Health, I must complain in the strongest possible terms about the spending cuts to the NHS. I've visited many hospitals in my time, and I've noticed simple ways of saving money. For example, why not dispense with the expensive red carpet that seems to be outside every hospital I've ever been to? Apart from anything, they're trip hazard. I just don't understand. And why on earth waste money painting hospitals quite so often? There's a constant smell of fresh paint wherever I go. I say to Camilla, who's in charge of their decorating budget? Bloody Fergie. And surely the staff need to work harder. Every hospital I've been to, people simply wait around, grinning and waving. I want to shout, get back to work, you lazy bastards. that Camilla doesn't think it would be a terribly good idea. Not once do these grinning fools ever ask about the boil on my back. I've had it 50 years now, and it's impossible to get treatment despite visiting 3 hospitals a week. Why the hell do they think I keep coming in? Yours, HRH, Charles.
Evening all, welcome to this week. Just a quick note, obviously no Diane this week due to election commitments, so Michael's got a bit more space on the ludicrously small sofa.
It's such a shame that Diane can't be here.
I know, such a tragedy. So, in a week where Nicola Sturgeon was at the forefront of British politics, we explore how she's making such waves in England, despite non-Scots being unable to vote for her. Miss Sturgeon joins us in the studio.
Pleasure for you to have me here.
So, Nicola, why the focus on England when only us Scots can vote for you?
Oh, Andrew, precious, naive little Andrew. I know I can't be the next Prime Minister, but I want people to wish that I was. I want them to say, oh, bloody hell, we're stuck with this chumpy posh boy. Nicola Sturgeon would have been way better.
No, it's certainly a novel policy.
Ach, no, I've been doing it for years, Andy, my boy. I turn up to strangers' weddings looking better than the bride. I'm the one that got away.
So, what's next for Nicola Sturgeon?
I'm off to break America. I'm going to campaign in their election debate, stand heed to heed with Hillary Clinton and come out on top. They'll all be gutted they couldn't vote for me. That'll break Hillary's wee heart, so it will.
Andrew! Michael!
Oh, Diane, we'd forgotten about you already.
All the doors were bolted shut, but don't worry, I managed to get in through this air vent. From the BBC toilets, it's so good to be back. Budge up, Michael. I've got so much to tell you about the people of Hackney.
Oh, God.
Seems everyone is tightening their belt these days and feeling the pinch, especially here at Tesco, where this year we've managed to lose £6 billion. Oh, that's why you'll be noticing some changes. Now our stores will be even more freezing cold. We've had the lecky cut off. So we've decided to give up and sell our businesses off. We've already got ruthless developers waiting to turn our out-of-town shops into fields and our Tesco metros into small family-run corner shops. Shocking, I know. All that history gone. Bastards. Everything must go. Our managing director, the finance director, the trolleys, the car parks, the manager's out back in a skip fighting a tramp for a bagel. So come to Tesco, please. We need you. Don't turn your back on us now. Don't pretend you didn't know what we were doing. Beans for 6p a tin. You thought that made financial sense, did you? You're as guilty as we are. You always, don't you ever forget what we did for you. Tesco, every little hasn't helped.
You're watching Bradford Local Television, bringing you all the news straight from Bradford. Bradford, quite near Leeds. Be upstanding and make the sign of the big brother eye and prepare for a message from our glorious leader.
Salam alaikum, peace be upon me. To my loyal subjects, I wish to bestow upon you all a long and fruitful life. May the dove of happiness flutter over your house and go off to crap on the state of Israel. I have come amongst you because I have discovered something vile, something repulsive, something sickening, a rottening stench corrupting our precious city. This!
A voting card! Galloway, protect me!
Once again, our city comes under the threat of democracy.
Galloway be praised, for his head is shiny like the sun. His beard is long and lustrous, and his Jaguar car is without scratches.
That is why I say to my people tonight, enough is enough. democracy will not be allowed to spread its tentacles into Bradford. So from midnight tonight, I am declaring Bradford an independent state. Thank you, my people, for that spontaneous outpouring of joy. At my announcement, we will drive out the settlers who have entered our land, who have taken our precious resources, settlers from Rochdale, Huddersfield, and North Halifax. And to keep the tribes of Bradford pure, men will now, by law, have to have arranged marriages with women born within the A6177.
Praise be the Bradford Ring Road.
We will throw off the yoke of the oppressor to create a utopia in my image, which will last 1,000 years. Oh, and remember, if you are looking for a new carpet or underlay, Detmar Carpets on the Utley Road's Crazy Madhouse sale continues right through this bank holiday weekend.
Hello, newsroom.
Oh, yes, hello there. Could I speak to somebody in the weather department, please?
Who's speaking, please?
Yes, it's William Hague calling.
And who would you like to speak to?
Oh, somebody in the weather department who might be able to advise. I just wanted a little bit of advice on the weather, you see. I wondered, because it's been so glorious, and I wondered if, in a style similar to the Prince of Wales on Countryfile, if I could be considered for a guest weather forecast, you see.
That is a brilliant idea.
What occurred to me was, in the light of this lovely weather, perhaps it might be the ideal time for a Bill Withers-inspired weather forecast, you see.
Do you want to give me a bit of that?
With all of the high pressure that's been taking place and temperatures rather above what is normal for this time of year, in view of this, I think it's going to be a lovely day. A lovely day. And now EastEnders. Is that sort of on the right line?
Perfect.
Good, because tomorrow it's pissing down.
We're going to introduce a tax on baby food.
Are you a political party too scared to say what you're really going to do after the election? Well, now you can, with the Penelope Wilton Manifesto audio app. Reveal your nastiest, most secret plans, and with Penelope's voice, they'll just sound lovely. Are you a Conservative Party needing to make £12 billion of cuts a little more specific?
We're going to cut Wales. That's right. Just snip the country off and hope it drifts away into the sea while we ignore their angry screams.
Or are you a Labour Party promising far less funding than the NHS actually needs?
We're only pledging £2.5 billion a year, which means 999 will be replaced with an answer phone message saying, "Oh, really? That sounds perfectly beastly. Goodbye."
Or do you need to be honest about your plans for the deficit? Let Penelope make them sound cosy.
We'll raise the money we need by more borrowing and hope the next generation can pay the IMF back in Nectar card points.
Are you the Scottish Nationalist Party, trying not to scare voters?
We're going to get rid of Trident and replace it with a really angry Glaswegian.
Why not make your Green Party policies sound charmingly eccentric?
We're going to replace the royal family with locally sourced organic vegetables.
With Penelope Wilton, you can make even the most terrifying political statements.
The way things are going, in 6 months, there's going to be another election.
Gadzooks, here I am at last, unleashed on the Tory campaign like Orpheus at the gates of Hades. Banish all thoughts of disloyalty and rivalry from your minds. Boris, always a team player, always here to save the day and sprinkle some much-needed Boris sparkle on a campaign which up to this point has been flatter than a gnat crushed underfoot by a mighty elephant. Now, just remember, vote Tory on May 7th, because stop for a minute and imagine if, perish a thought, Cameron was to lose this election, the terrible events that would follow as the battered and bruised Tory party looked for a new leader to see off our Caledonian overlords. possibly a tousled-haired champion, firm of pecker, and skilled of bicycle, who, like Richard the Lionheart, massacring the Saracens, could rally his demoralized troops and unite the nation with his passion for this sceptered isle.
Whew. Christ, doesn't that sound bad?
So, yes, this is Bozza saying think long and hard on May 7th and keep an image of David Cameron firmly in your mind. That weak jaw, that insipid smile, that smug, supercilious demeanor, so that we will all get the result we so badly crave. So, on May 7th, vote Labour!
It's the final of MasterChef, and Sue has decided to make a chocolate fondant, which means Greg Wallace will probably overreact in a hugely melodramatic way, as if it's the maddest thing he's ever heard.
Four, mate, you've got a lot going on this bench. What are you making?
Well, I thought I'd push the boat out and try a chilli chocolate fondant.
You're joking! Oh, mate, now you force me to pull me chin down and wiggle me glasses. The secret to a perfect chocolate fondant is mankind's oldest, deepest riddle. How'd you get it crispy on the outside and yet somehow gooey in the middle? If it's nice, I'll do that little laugh I do, like a cross between Paul Daniels and Satan. Ha-ha! And if it ain't, I'll do my little sad voice, like a quivering, sentimental David Jason. Oh, mate, I'm sorry, it's not for me. That's it! Time's up, stop cooking. It's judging time, so time for me to leave a spoon in me mouth far longer than is decent and polite, while John Turode shows you his massive tongue.
Sue has made a chilli chocolate fondant with raspberry coulis.
Foie, 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 what a delight! Ha ha! Oh, mate, I could make love to that all night. I love it! You got sharpness from that raspberry and emboss the heat of chilli. I'd like to rip its niggers off and kiss it on the willy! Smack from a Randy Gorilla. Oh, mate. Oh, mate. Foie! That's a delight!
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Colshaw, Jan Ravens, Lewis McLeod, Duncan Wisby and Deborah Stevenson. It was written by Tom Jameson and Niff Fountain, Ed Emson and Tom Coles, Lawrence Howarth, James Bug, Sarah Campbell, John Colshaw, Gronnie Maguire and Duncan Wisby. The producer and creator was Bill Dare. It was a BBC Radio comedy production.